Welcome to the third program in the six-part series called Bookworms, broadcast by Near FM on 90.3 FM and online on www.near.ie. My name is Declan Cahill, and I'll be presenting the series involving young people reading from a children's novel. The book we selected was Gangster Granny by David Walliams, and the objectives of the Bookworm series are to encourage primary school children to read more and indeed to write more, to improve their literacy levels, and to develop a deeper love of books. To help me in this process, I'm delighted to have the assistance of the pupils of one of the six classes of St. David's Boys National School, Kilmore Road, R10 Dublin 5. And I hope that other schools in the area will listen into the broadcasts, thus encouraging other school children to read more. So during this programme, we're going to hear six boys from Miss Cahill's sixth class to read from the novel Gangster Granny by David Walliams. Maybe I'll read some pages also, and then we'll have a discussion on the book. I'm delighted this programme is being recorded in the school library, because we're surrounded by stacks and stacks of books, which will give us great encouragement. So I'm delighted to welcome six boys to the programme, and they are Ethan Wynne, Jason Popa, Adam White, Cefax Mella, Adam Page and Shane Mahan. Now, a brief recap on the story so far, for those who maybe missed last week's programme. We have a young boy called Ben, who spends a lot of time every week at his granny's. His parents are too wrapped up in following their hobby, watching ballroom dancing on TV, which means that Ben is a lonely boy, but he has a very unusual hobby. He loves all aspects of plumbing, pipes, drains, boilers, etc. Ben's granny loves cabbage of every description, but the smell in the house, phew. Ben does not like going to his granny's house because of all the cabbage and its associated smells, but he thinks he has hurt his granny because of a hurtful remark he made about her. Subsequently, while searching for something to eat, he came across a box full of jewels, diamonds and other precious stones. So chapter 7, Bags of Manure. "Can I stay at granny's again tonight?" announced Ben from the back seat of his mum and dad's little brown car. The diamonds in the biscuit tin were so puzzling. He was desperate to do some detective work, maybe even search every nook and cranny of the old lady's bungalow. This was awfully mysterious. Raj had said his granny might have a secret or two, and it seemed that the newsagent was right. And whatever granny's secret was, it must be pretty amazing to explain all those diamonds. What if she used to be a zillionaire, or worked in a diamond mine, or been left them by a princess? Ben couldn't find a way out. "What?" asked Dad, astonished. "But you said she was boring," said Mum, equally astonished, irritated even. "You said all old people are." "No, I was just joking," said Ben. Dad studied his son in the rear-view mirror. He found understanding his plumbing-obsessed son hard enough at the best of times. Right now, Ben wasn't making any sense at all. "Well, if you are sure, Ben..." "I am sure, Dad. I'll call her when we get back, just to check that she's not going out." "Ha! Not going out?" scoffed Mum. "The old dear hasn't gone out for 20 years, she added with a chuckle. Ben wasn't sure why this was funny. "I took her to the garden centre one time," said Dad. "It was only because you needed someone to help you carry a bag of manure," said Mum. "She'd a super day out, though," said Dad, sounding miffed. Later, Ben sat alone on his bed. His mind was racing. Where on earth had Granny got the diamonds? How much were they worth? Why would she live in that sad little bungalow if she was so rich? Ben searched and searched his mind, but he couldn't find any answers. Then Dad entered the room. "Granny's busy. She said she'd love to see you, but she's going out tonight," he announced. "What?" spluttered Ben. Granny hardly ever went out. Ben had seen her calendar. The mystery was getting even more mysterious. So let's start the next section of the book, Gangster Granny by David Walliams, and we're going to have Ethan Wynne reading the next section.
"Can I stay at Granny's again tonight?" announced Ben from the back seat of his mum and dad's little brown car. The diamonds in the biscuit tin were so puzzling, he was desperate to do some detective work, maybe even search nook and cranny of the old lady's bungalow. This was awful mysterious. Rag had said his granny might have a secret or two, and it seemed like the newsagent was right. And whatever granny's secret was, it must be pretty amazing to explain all those diamonds. What if she used to be a zillionaire, or worked in a diamond mine, or being left them by a princess, but couldn't wait to find out? What asked Dad, not astonished. But you said she was boring, said Mum, equally astonished, irritated even. You said all people are. I was just joking, said Ben. Dad stood his son in the rear view mirror. He found understanding his plumbing obsessed son had hard enough at the best of times. Right now, Ben wasn't making any sense at all. Mum, well, if you are sure, Ben, I am sure, Dad. I'll call her when we get home. Just to check she's not going out, scoffed Mum. The old dear hasn't gone out for 20 years, she added with a chuckle. Ben wasn't sure why this was funny. I took her out to the garden centre that time, protested Dad. It was only because you needed someone to help you carry a load of bags of manure, said Mum. She had a super day out though, said Dad, sounding miffed. Later, Ben sat alone on his bed. His mind was racing. Where on earth had Granny got the diamonds? How much were they worth? Why would she live in that sad little bungalow? If she was so rich, Ben searched and searched his mind, but couldn't find any answers. Dan entered the room. Granny's busy, she said. She loves to see you, but she's going out tonight, he announced. What, spluttered Ben. Granny hardly even went out. Ben had seen her calendar. The mystery was getting even more mysterious.
Thanks very much, Ethan. That was very good. And now we're going to have the next boy to read is Jason Popa.
Ben hid in the bushes outside Granny's bungalow. Whilst Mum and Dad were downstairs in the living room watching Strictly Starts Dancing on TV, Ben had scaled down the drain pipe outside his bedroom window and cycled to 5 miles to Granny's. This alone was a sign of how curious Ben had become about his Granny. He didn't like cycling. His parents were always encouraging him to get more exercise. They told him that being fit would absolutely necessary if you wanted to be a professional dancer, but since it didn't make much difference when you were lying under a sink screwing in a new length of copper piping, Ben had never willingly taken any exercise until now. If Granny was really going out for the first time in 20 years, Ben had to know where. It might just hold the key to how she came to have a ton of diamonds in her biscuit tin. So he huffed and puffed along the canal, towpath on his clunky old bike, until he came to a grey close. The only good thing was that being November, instead of being drenched in sweat, Ben was only mildly moist. He had pedalled fast because he knew he didn't have much time. Strictly Starts Dancing seemed to go on for hours, days even, but it had been taking Ben half an hour to cycle over to Granny's, and as soon as the show was over, Mum would be calling him downstairs for his tea. Ben's parents loved all the dancing TV shows, Dancing on Ice Skates, So You Think You Might Be Able to Dance a Bit, but they were completely obsessed with Strictly Starts Dancing. They had recorded every single episode and had an unrevealed collection of Strictly memorabilia in the house, including a lime green tong once worn by Flavio Flavioli, framed with a photograph of him wearing it, a Strictly Starts Dancing real fake leather bookmark, some athlete's foot powder signed by Flavio's professional dance partner, the Austrian beauty Eva Bonds, his and hers official Strictly Starts Dancing leg warmers, a CD of songs nearly used on the show.
That's great, Jason. Thank you very much. That was Jason Popper reading from Gangster Granny by David Walliams. And now we're going to have Adam White reading a section from the book.
A small wig in a jar that had been worn by the presenter, Sir Drick Doddery. A life-size cardboard cutout of Flavio Flavioli that had some of Mum's lipstick smudged around the mouth. Some earwax in a jar that belonged to a celebrity contestant, the politician Dame Rachel Prejudice MP. A pair of tan tights that smelled of Eva Bonds. A doodle on a napkin of a man's bottom drawn by the nasty judge Craig Malteser Woodward. A set of official Strictly Starts Dancing egg cups. A half full tube of Rax Jex used by Flavio Flavioli. A Craig Malteser Woodward posable action figure. A Hawaiian hot pizza crust that had been left by Flavio, complete with a signed letter of authenticity from Eve Burns. It was a Sunday, so after the show had finished, the family were going to be having cheesy beans and sausages. Neither mum or dad could cook, but of all their ready-made meals, Ben's mum took out of the freezer, pricked with a fork and placed in a microwave for 3 minutes. This was his favourite.
So thank you very much, Adam. That was very good. And now we're going to have CFAX Mella reading a section from the book.
Ben was hungry and didn't want to miss it, which meant he needed to get back from Granny's house quickly. If it had been a Monday night and they were having chicken tikka lasagna, or a Wednesday and doner kebab pizza, or a Sunday a Yorkshire pudding chow mein was on the menu, Ben wouldn't have been so bothered. Night was falling. It was late November. It was rapidly growing colder and darker, and Ben was shivering in the bushes as he spied on his granny. Where can she be going? Thought Ben. She hardly ever goes out. The supermarket chains where Ben's dad worked like to bring the cuisines from two countries together in one easily microwavable pack. By combining dishes from different countries, perhaps they would be able to bring peace to a deeply divided world, or maybe not. He saw a shadow move in her bungalow. Then her face appeared at the window, and Ben quickly shot out of view. The bushes rustled. Shh, thought Ben. Had the old lady seen him? After a few moments, the front door opened slowly and out stepped a figure dressed entirely in black. A black jumper, black leggings, black gloves, black socks, probably even a black bra and knickers, a black balaclava disguised the face. But from the stoop, Ben knew it was Granny. She looked like someone from one of the covers of the books she loved reading. She startled her mobility scooter and revved the engine. Where on earth was she going? And more importantly, why was she dressed like a ninja? Ben propped his bike against the bushes and got ready to tell his own granny, which was one thing he had never in a million years dreamed of doing. Like a spider shuttling around a bathroom trying not to be seen, Granny steered her scooter close to the walls. Ben followed on foot as quietly as possible. It wasn't too difficult to keep up, as the top speed of the mobility scooter was 4 miles per hour. Whirring across the road, she suddenly looked back as if she had heard something, and Ben dived behind a tree. He waited, holding his breath. Nothing. After a few moments, he poked his head around the trunk and saw that Granny had reached the end of the road. He continued his chase.
Thanks very much, CFAX Mella. That's very good. And now we're going to have two more boys reading the last section from the book. Now we're going to have Adam Page reading a section from Gangster Granny by David Walliams.
He continued his chase. Soon they were near the town's high street. It was all but deserted, and it was early evening. All the shops had shut for the day, and the pubs and the restaurants had yet to open for the night. Granny stayed out of the glow of the street lights, swerved into the doorways as she neared her destination. Ben gasped when he saw where she had parked, the jeweller's shop. Necklaces and rings and watches sparkled in the window. Ben couldn't believe his eyes as Granny took out a tin of cabbage soup from the scooter's basket. She glanced around theatrically, then pulled back her arm in readiness to smash the tin through the jeweller shop window. No, shouted Ben. Granny dropped the tin. It crashed to the ground and cabbage soup oozed on the pavement. Ben, hissed Granny, what are you doing here? Ben started at his granny as she stood by the jeweller's shop dressed all in black. "Ben," she prompted, "what are you following me for?" Ben was shocked. He couldn't even form a sentence. "Well," she said, "whatever you're doing here, you'll have the cops on us in no time. We better get out of here. Quick, jump on." "But I can't, Ben. We've only got about 30 seconds before that CCTV camera comes on." She pointed to the camera screwed to the wall of the apartment blocks next to the row of shops. Ben jumped on the back of her mobility scooter. "You know when the CCTV cameras come on?" he asked. "Oh," said Granny, "you'd be surprised what I know." Ben looked at her back as she drove. He'd just seen her preparing to rob a jeweller's shop. How could he be more surprised? Clearly there was a lot more to his granny than he had ever known. "Hold on," said Granny, "I'm going full throttle." She violently twisted the handle of the scooter to absolutely no effect that Ben could feel. They hummed off in the dark, going at about 3 miles per hour with the increased weight.
Thank you very much, Adam. That was excellent. And the next boy who's going to read on the last boy is Shane Mahan.
The black cat repeated Ben. They were finally back sitting in Granny's living room. She had made a pot of tea and laid out some biscuits. "Yes, that's what they called me," replied Granny. "I was the most wanted jewel thief in the world." Ben's head was exploding with a million questions. Why? Where? Who? What? When? It was impossible to know what to ask first. "No one else knows except you, Ben," continued Granny. "Even your granddad went to his grave without knowing. Can you keep a secret? You have to swear not to tell a soul." "But..." Granny's face looked fierce for a moment. Her eyes narrowed and darkened like a snake about to bite. "You have to swear," the old lady said, with an intensity Ben had never witnessed before. "Us criminals take our oaths very seriously. Very seriously indeed." Ben gulped, a little scared. "I swear not to tell anyone." "Not even your mother or father," barked Granny, nearly spitting out her false teeth in the process. I swear not to tell anyone," barked back Ben. Ben had been learning about Venn diagrams in school recently. As he had sworn not to tell anyone, and let's say that anyone is set A, then mum and dad are obviously included in set A, and are of course a subset of it. So there was really no need for Granny to ask Ben to swear a second time. "Take a look at this handy diagram." But Ben didn't think his granny would be interested in Venn diagrams right now. Since she was staring at him with those scary eyes, he sighed and said, "All right, I swear not to tell Mum and Dad." "Good boy," said Granny as her hearing aid began to whistle. "On one condition," ventured Ben. "What's that?" said Granny, seeming a little startled by his nerve. "You have to tell me everything."
Thank you very much, Shane. That was Shane Mahan, finishing the section from Gangster Granny by David Walliams. Chapter 10, Everything. "I was about your age when I stole my first diamond ring," said Granny. Ben was astonished, partly at the idea that Granny had ever been his age, which seemed impossible, and partly because of the obvious fact that 11-year-old girls do not usually steal diamonds. Glitter, pens, hair clips, toy ponies maybe, but diamonds definitely not. "I know you look at me with my Scrabble and my knitting and my fondness for cabbage and think I'm just a boring old dear." No, Ben," said, not entirely convincingly. "But you forget, child, that I was young once." "What was the first ring you stole?" said Ben eagerly. Did it have a really big diamond on it?" The old lady chuckled. "Not so big, no. It was my first one. I still got it somewhere. Go into the kitchen, will you, Ben, and fetch the Silver Jubilee biscuit tin from the shelf?" Ben shrugged as if he knew nothing about the Silver Jubilee biscuit tin and its incredible contents. Whereabouts is it, Granny?" asked Ben as he left the dining room. "Just on the top of the larder, boy," called Granny. "Chop, chop, your mummy and daddy will be wondering where you are soon." Ben remembered that he wanted to rush home for cheesy beans and sausage. Suddenly, that seemed colossally unimportant. He wasn't even feeling hungry anymore. Ben re-entered the room holding the tin. It was even heavier than he remembered. He passed it to his granny. "Good boy," she said as she rummaged through the tin and picked out a particularly beautiful little sparkler. "Ah, yes, this is it." To Ben, all the diamond rings looked pretty much the same. However, Granny seemed to know each of them as if they were her oldest friends. "Ah, such a little beauty," she said, as she brought the ring up to her eye for closer inspection. "This is the first one I stole, back when I was a nipper." Ben couldn't imagine what Granny had been like when she was young. he'd only known her as an old lady. He even imagined that she had been born an old lady. That years ago in the hospital, when her mother had given birth and asked the midwife if it was a boy or a girl, the midwife might have replied, "It's an old lady." "I grew up in a small village and my family was very poor," continued Granny. "And up at the top of the hill was this grand country house where a lord and lady lived. Lord and Lady Davenport. It was just after the war and we didn't have much food in those days. I was hungry, so one night at midnight, when everybody was asleep, I crept out of my mother and father's little cottage. Under the cover of darkness, I made my way through the woods and up the hill to Davenport House." "Weren't you scared?" asked Ben. "Yes, of course I was. Being alone in the dark woods at night, it was terrifying. There were guard dogs at the house, great big Dobermans. So as quietly as I could, I climbed a drainpipe and found an unlocked window." "I was a very little girl at 11 and small for my age, so I managed to squeeze myself through a tiny gap in the window and landed behind a velvet curtain. When I pulled back the curtain, I realised I was in Lord and Lady Davenport's bedroom." "Oh no," said Ben. "Oh yes," continued the old lady. "I thought I might just take some food perhaps, but next to the bed, I saw this little beauty." She indicated the diamond ring. So you just took it?" "Being an jewel thief is never that simple, young man," said Granny. "The Lord and Lady were snoring heavily, and if I woke them, I'd be dead. The Lord always slept with a shotgun by his bed." "A shotgun?" said Ben. "Yes, he was posh, and being posh, he liked hunting pheasants, so he owned many guns." Ben was sweating with nerves. "But he didn't wake up and try shoot you, did he?" "Be patient, young man. All in good time." I crept over to Lady Davenport's side of the bed and picked up the diamond ring. I couldn't believe how beautiful it was. I'd never seen one up that close before. My mother would never have dreamed of owning one. "I don't need jewels," she would say to her children. "You are my little diamonds." I wondered at the diamond in my hand for a moment. It was the most gorgeous thing that I had ever seen in my life. And suddenly, there was an almighty noise. Ben frowned. What was it? Lord Davenport was a big, fat, greedy man. He must have had too much to eat earlier because he left out the most enormous burp. Ben laughed and Granny laughed too. He knew burps weren't supposed to be funny, but he couldn't help laughing. "It was so loud," said Granny, still chuckling. "Burp," she mimicked. Ben was helpless with laughter now. "It was so loud," continued Granny, "that I was startled and dropped the ring on the polished wooden floor. It made quite a bang as it hit the teak, and both Lord and Lady Davenport woke up. Oh no, oh yes. So I grabbed the ring and ran back to the open window. I daren't look behind me as I could hear Lord Davenport cocking his shotgun. I leaped down on the grass and all of a sudden the lights in the house came on and the dogs were barking and I was running for my life. And then I heard a deafening sound." "Another burp?" said Ben. No, a gunshot this time, and Lord Davenport was shooting at me as I ran down the hill and back to the woods. And then what happened?" Granny looked at her little watch. "My dear, you had better head home. Your mummy and daddy will be worried sick." "I doubt it," said Ben. "All they care about is a stupid ballroom dancing." "Now that's not true," said Granny unexpectedly. "You know they love you." "I want to hear the end of the story," said Ben, frustrated. He was desperate to know what happened next. "You will, another day." "But Granny..." "Ben, you have to go home. That's not fair." "Ben, you must leave now. I could tell you what happened when you come another day, but..." "To be continued," she said. Right, we're gathered now with the boys who have just read. We have Adam, Cefax, Adam, Ethan, Shane and Jason gathered around the table here, and we're going to have a quick chat about a few things. First of all, guys, why do you think your class voted to select this book, Gangster Granny by David Williams, to read on the radio programme today? Anybody? Shane?
We just really like David Williams and we've already read it, so we thought it'd just kind of be... it'd come to us naturally.
Very good, very good. Now, another important question. How many of you here have grannies? You all have grannies. So, Cefax, your granny, can you imagine your granny behaving like the granny in the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? Would your granny be like that?
Yeah, she smells like cabbage.
Sorry?
She smells like cabbage.
Does she? Now, she might be listening to the programme later, so be careful what
you say. She's in Algeria.
Oh, she's in Algeria. Well, your granny might be able to podcast the programme, you see, so be very careful what you say. I know. So, and do you visit your granny often? Have you seen her?
Yeah, I'm visiting her this December.
Oh, fantastic. That's marvellous. Very good. So, and how often, guys, I presume all your grannies are in Dublin.
Yeah.
So how often would you see your granny, Adam?
My nanny only lives around the corner, so every day.
Oh, every day, right. Yeah. Anybody else?
My nanny lives in Talla. She wouldn't be anything like a gangster. She's really quiet and really religious, and she's just always in her house.
So there's no way she'd be like
this. Yeah, she's very quiet.
Very good. But she might have a secret that you might know. And how about you, Ethan? How about your granny?
Quiet.
Funny. Yeah. And would she sing now and tell you stories?
No.
So how about you, Jason? How about your granny?
I see my nanny every day, and I wouldn't think she'd do that.
Can you imagine your granny as a young woman? Did you ever see a photograph of your granny as a young woman?
Yeah.
And was she very different to what she is now?
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah.
And was she pretty?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Runs in the family.
Very good. Adam, how about you? Did you ever see a photograph of your granny?
No.
So why don't you ask her now? Say, granny, do you call her Nana or granny?
Yeah, nanny.
Nanny, have you? I'd love to tell her about the radio programme and ask her for a photograph. I'm sure she has, and I'm sure you'd be surprised. And how about you, Shane? Did you see a photograph of your granny?
Yeah, my granny looks like. Well, my great nanny looks like.
Your great nanny, my goodness.
Yeah, she's 75.
Right.
And when she was about 50, my nanny is 50.
Yeah.
About that, and she looks exactly like my nanny.
Isn't it funny how? Yeah, that's very interesting, and. How would you feel, guys, if you were visiting your granny's house and you came across a box of jewels that was hidden in the press? Jason, how would you feel?
Don't know.
You don't know?
I wouldn't ask anything. I'd just leave it there.
Leave it there, right. How about you?
I would just go in and ask her, say, why do you have jewels in your house?
Yeah, but would you be shocked and surprised?
Yeah, I would. Maybe she just likes jewels, but she could be robbing jewels.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
That's a big shock for your granny, who you think is quiet. And what book are you reading at the moment, each one of you? I presume you're all reading some book at the moment. I know your class has a very strong policy of reading. So we'll go around the table from left to right. Jason, what are you reading?
I'm reading Tom Gates.
Tom Gates. And what book is that?
I don't know. I forget what it's called, but yeah. The cover's green.
It's good fun, is it?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Okay. Shane?
I read all of Darren Shan, kind of going back and reading the Demon at it again.
Yeah.
I went back to, I think, the third one.
Very
so
good.
I'm just going to keep going along. I've already read them, but I forget them.
It's good to go back, isn't it?
Yeah, I read them like.
Ethan, how about you?
Arrival, a book called Arrival. Got in the library.
It's in the library, school library or your class library?
School library.
School library, good man. And Adam?
I'm not actually reading a book at the moment. I just finished the third Hunger Games book, though. It's really good, yeah.
Do you like that series? Yeah. I have the series. I haven't read it yet, but apparently it's very good.
It's really good.
And CFX, how about you? What are you reading?
At the moment, I'm reading Boy in the Dress by David Walliams.
Oh, the volumes again. Yeah, David Walliams is very popular, isn't he? Yeah. He's very good. And Adam, how about you?
I'm reading one of the Artemis Fowl books.
The what?
One of the Artemis Fowl books.
Oh, yes, right. The Man from Wexford. Yeah, he's finished that series now. He's written something else. They were very good too, weren't they?
Yeah.
So you would certainly encourage boys and girls to read more. Okay, so gentlemen, thank you very much for contributing to that. That was very interesting. So we'll finish our programme today, so by telling everybody that you've been listening to the series called Bookworms on Near FM, and you've been listening to Ethan Wynne, Jason Popa, Adam White, CFAX Mella, Adam Page and Shane Mahan. And they've been reading from David Walliams' book Gangster Granny in the library of St David's Boys National School here in Artane. You can also listen back to the programme by going to the website www.near.ie. My thanks go to the boys in St David's National School, their class teacher Miss Cahill, the school principal Mr Moore, and also to my colleagues here from Near FM who helped me present the programme, Alan Weldon, Dorothy Holtkamp-Meyer and Anise Amistoy, all the way from France, who's here on internship. My name is Declan Cahill, and if you want to find out more about the series Bookworms, all you have to do is ring Near FM on 867 1190. So remember, boys and girls, keep reading.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.